Sam McClure, Sports Day co-host and journalist with The Age, joins us. Sammy, welcome to you. Do you feel vindicated?
Hello, hello. Evening, boys. Oh, well, today's about a lot of people, hello, and I am very much down on that list. It's more about, I think, the Hawthorn members today, and we've heard a lot on Talkback Radio how angry they are, and I was a little bit disappointed that the charade continued today at the press conference, mainly from the president, who's clearly now got egg on his face. But it was never going to work. And I think the club have handled it really poorly. You know, hopefully Alistair can be given the send-off that he probably deserves. But I think the raw truth of it is they've put their next coach in Sam Mitchell under a fair bit of pressure as well. But yeah, as the president put it today, boys, a momentous moment, he called it. I'm not sure I would have gone down that line, but it was certainly a significant day.
It was a big day, Scoopy. You've had a couple of big months. You've been under fire from a lot of quarters. You've held strongly, so I think you should be proud of yourself for doing that. But you mentioned the word charade, and that's a strong word. Tell me, was it 100% a charade, or did the meeting that you discussed today, did the meeting you enunciated today between the senior group and Justin Reeves, is that the trigger, or was this going to play out this way anyway?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jared. I think it probably would have happened no matter what, but I think it expedited the process. I mean, the players just felt like the whole situation was untenable. And Ben McAvoy in the leadership group, who were, by the way, standing behind us as we were asking questions today, the whole leadership group was present at that freezing press conference in the middle of Waverley Park. They were the ones that said, we can't have two coaches. You know, it's mixed messaging. They were very flat after the Fremantle game. That was the days after the handover was announced and they got belted down in Tassie. They were very flat after the Adelaide game on the weekend. I think the players had just had enough. So, yeah, that happened Wednesday. Thursday, Justin Reeves, Jeff Kennett, James Henderson, Clarko's manager, talked about next year, and they sort of decided that, you know, he would be paid out fully. And then that got ratified by the board later that night. So it's last night. And the board had agreed to announce this on Monday. But as it happens in footy clubs, things leak out and they had to make things up on the run today.
So if Clarko gets a job next year, does he pay the money back, or is he allowed to keep the cash?
No, my understanding is it's mitigated. So, if, you know, for all intents and purposes, if Alistair Clarkson coaches Carlton next year, Hawthorn would only have to pay in the soft cap whatever the difference in the salary is.
Yep.
If he's not, though, I mean, and Alistair did everything but close the door on him coaching next year. I thought he basically said, call me if you want, through his messaging today. Mm. That's how I translated it. But, if he doesn't coach anyone next year, he gets his $900,000, and the Hawks will have to spread that over a number of years in the soft cap. They've already spoken to Ken Wood and Andrew Dillon at the AFL to make sure that they're allowed to do that. I think the maximum is 5 years. But, there is the weird scenario where Alistair Clarkson for a number of years could be getting paid by both clubs.
So ultimately, Sam, is this what this was all about, the 3 weeks leading into this? Was it just about getting the check?
Well, I mean, it's a really cynical way of looking at it, Hutto, but I think ultimately the answer is yes. I mean, this is about a contract, and Alistair Clarkson, you know, whether you like him or not, is absolutely entitled to that money. And I think that, you know, Hawthorn thought they were really clever by trying to navigate their way through this and use Sam Mitchell really as the fallback to say, well, you know, sorry, Clarko, but we've got to get Mitch in. You know, I don't think it was about that at all. I think the decision from Hawthorn was, well, we don't want you to coach us anymore. And let's put the pressure on him and hopefully he walks and we don't have to pay him his money. I just think that's backfired, you know, completely. And that whole monologue from Alistair Clarkson last week, I think, was from the heart, and it was also putting pressure on the board. And I think he's played it beautifully. I think that Hawthorn Footy Club were all playing checkers and Clarko was playing chess.
It seemed to me like that too, Scoop. I suppose from the player point of view, when you said that they went to Justin Reeves and just said that this can't happen, I wonder why they didn't wait until the end of the season. What have you got any specifics in terms of match day coaching or what might have been happening behind the scenes that would suggest the players to go to Justin Reeves and just say, we cannot wait the next 4 weeks. We need this to change now and we need clarity.
Yeah, I think Geordie, it was probably the fact that they're very different coaches and they see the game plan is, you know, very differently. And I think as we've seen from a lot of, I know there's been a couple of successful handovers, but we've seen from a lot of failed ones, there's mixed messaging. And I don't think the players appreciated that. And for whatever reason, they couldn't wait. It's probably better for the club if they waited until the end of the season, particularly given where Hawthorn are at the ladder. But as it transpired, it didn't. So the club felt they had to act now.
So, Sam, if Jeff Kennett thinks or thought it was going to work, and Sam Mitchell told us it was going to work, and Alistair Clarkson told us it was going to work, you're telling us that players went to the board and told them it ain't going to work. So how do the players know that it's not going to work when it seemed like Kennett, Mitchell and Clarko were all convinced it would?
Yeah, well, this is, do I know where we come back to that word charade, isn't it? I mean, none of those people thought it was going to work. You can just take that as fact. No one there did. But of course, you know, footy clubs are about brand management, like a bank or like a company. But they have to show their members that there is faith in the process. And so everyone was going to get behind this handover, this succession plan, until it didn't work. And Jeff Kennett, you know, bizarrely kind of admitted that right at the end, that I was right all the way through until I was wrong. Footy clubs are as big on brand management as they are on list management, and they had to show their members that they had belief in what was going on. But if you're asking me whether those people actually thought the succession would work, well, they didn't.
Had Nathan Buckley, Scoop, not resigned mid-season, would this have eventuated anyway?
Yeah, it's interesting, Jared, the chain of events. I mean, Nathan leaves, and so they start their process. Graham Wright's first phone call is to Sam Mitchell. Sam, whatever you do, don't re-sign with the Hawks because we might want you to be a part of the process here. That filters to Waverley pretty quick, as you can imagine. And then the Hawthorn say to themselves, well, can we really afford to miss out on Sam Mitchell? But I think the greater question, as I mentioned before, is do we really want Alistair to coach beyond his contract? And the answer to that question was no. So, you know, history would say that Hawthorn blinked first.
And in blinking, they end up having to pay Clarko out.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I have zero empathy for the Hawthorn Footy Club in that. When you sign contracts, they're in stone. And James Henderson has clearly put together a very, very good contract for his client in Clarko. And I don't think there's anyone in footy that I've spoken to, Jared, in the last 2 weeks that doesn't think that Alistair is entitled to that money. Mm.
Sam, as Dwayne said, you seem to know more about what Clarko's going to do than he does. Have you got a read on whether he will coach or he'll genuinely want to coach next year or not, or whether, you know, you take some things on face value and think he might need a break?
Well, this is a $900,000 question, Otto. Mm. I don't think he'll coach Collingwood. I think it will be either Don Pike or Brad Scott. And I think that when the review is announced at Carlton that David T will finish, and I think that the first call is going to have to be to Alistair Clarkson. Will he take the call? Well, he basically told us today that he will. He just wants a few weeks off to think about his next move. But it would be, you know, they wouldn't be doing their due diligence, the Blues, and you can take it from me that Luke Sayers is a big fan of Alistair Clarkson. How could you not be, given his record? Mm. So they'll call him, no doubt. They'll call James Henderson and ask the question. But, yeah, I would find it difficult to be convinced that one of Alistair Clarkson or Ross Lyon isn't coaching Carlton next year.
Mm. Scoop, you are now batting at 100% in your take it to the banks. What can we take to the bank from as far as a Collingwood perspective and now a Carlton perspective? You've given us two candidates for both. Just dabble a little bit stronger if you wouldn't mind. You're in
come
form.
Come on, Jared. I've put it down to two each.
You're in good form. Who's in front of both?
I would have Don Pike in front of Brad Scott at Collingwood. And I would have Alistair Clarkson and nose in front of Ross Lyon at Carlton.
So you don't even have Teague in that equation at all, Sam?
I've been very consistent that I don't think David Teague will coach Carlton beyond this year, and they just got beaten by the 18th side in the competition pretty comfortably, so I don't think anything's changed there. The review, by the way, is nearly done. And if you can just picture a call centre going off, that's what it was like at Carlton today when the Alistair Clarkson news filtered through.
Sam, well done. Outstanding reporting, and it's an incredible story. So congratulations on that. As you said, the bigger picture is the story itself, but you had to hold a fair bit of crossfire along the way. So well played.
Thanks, boys. Have a good call.
You did give 100-1 scoop. Have you been picking up any of those bets?
I actually just had a notification via ANZ that one Michael Warner has paid $100
in my
account.
It's off shelf.
Sam McClure, Sports Day co-host.
Hey, I know you're busy, mate, but if I call you at lunchtime to say well done on a story, at least give me a call back by 6, couldn't you? I know you're a busy guy, though, aren't you?
Sorry, Duane. I was getting around to that.
It's been a busy day. You gave me a start years ago, Duane.
Thank you, Sam. Sam McClure, Sports Day co-host.